Hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by Amazon.com. Go to our Podbean page and check out the Amazon banners right there. You can click on them, it'll take you straight to the site and do all your shopping needs there, and a little percentage comes back to us. It'll help us out a lot with all the bills we gotta pay, and we would love you forever. Now enjoy the show.
Would you like to read a book? No, I don't.
Hello and welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
I'm Danny Archer.
You're not Danny Archer. We'll get to that. Who are you?
I'm Tony Santomare.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
That's good, man. Good. You looking good.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm going to start off today's podcast with some movie news and film and TV. Well, not film and... Okay, film
movie,
and TV.
Film and TV?
Yeah, all three of them. We're hitting them all. All right, I read this headline today and it kind of caught my attention. Marvel sued by artists for Iron Man design. Now, I'm going to turn my computer around to you and you let me know if you think that this is kind of plagiaristic.
This artist designed that before Iron Man 3?
Yes. It is the artist that made Radix, which I've never read the comic. It's an Image comic book. And if you're familiar with Iron Man 3, the poster of all the Iron Men flying out behind him, and he's kind of like sitting there, one knee down, has his hand kind of like, you know, perched up, and then like a fist made. Basically the exact same thing as this dude. And No, and it's not the pose that was stolen, because obviously you can't, copyrighted that pose.
Pose is pose.
And not only that, fucking every comic book in history has had their hero do that pose. So The Hollywood Reporter, this is from Newsarama, by the way. The Hollywood Reporter has news that comics artists Ben and Ray Lai, I think I'm saying that right, it's L-I-A-I, have brought a lawsuit against Marvel Entertainment over the design of Iron Man in movies, not comic books. The two brothers allege copyright infringement and unfair business practices over similarities between the 2001 comic series Radix, published by Image, and the Iron Man suits in the Iron Man films. Mm-hmm. The duo claims that their Radix series featured character, who wears highly detailed mechanized suits of body armor, that was unique to its comic. So this is like the first time that I guess they did that. And Image is very like into like making everything super detailed. And the Marvel's Iron Man didn't feature that until various employees saw Radix, which was published in 2001. Now it's saying the Rye brothers, so I'm not sure which way they're going with it. Because this one's R-A-I. But anyways, brothers said they were hired by Marvel in 2002 based on their work on Radix. It was not until after the Lai brothers submitted their work in Radix to Marvel that Marvel began depicting Iron Man wearing the suits, states the lawsuit. The suits are substantially similar to the armor depicted on Radix materials years after. Neither the Lai brothers nor plaintiff authorized, which is Marvel, any of the defendants to exploit the Radix materials in these or any other ways. According to the lawsuit, previous Iron Man comics featured the character wearing simple spandex-like attire and minimal armor, while after Marvel became aware of Radix, the films featured Iron Man wearing a fully mechanized suit of body armor taken from Radix. Although Iron Man was created years before the lies were even born, according to THR, copyright laws allows for new aspects of expression to be copyrighted if the creation is sufficiently delineated and not generic.
Okay, so
how do you feel? Like, do you think that like they should?
I feel they're gonna get a couple mil because Marvel Disney God is gonna throw it at them and tell them to shut up. It'd be like if I sued them, they would be like, "Oh, just shut them down."
I think like I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of lawyers, so they might be like, "Fuck you!" Like, we don't have to.
I guess they could just weigh it out. Like, will the publicity incur bad press,
right,
all that shit? Well, it all like they'd probably done like fucking algorithms to see how much publicity, law, fucking money payout slash like what it's going to do to their credibility, right, or like their standing or their ticket sales for anything ever. Run an algorithm and they'll say, oh fuck, just give them this dollar amount or fight them for 2 years,
right? Because that's exactly what you're totally right, that is what would happen. If you want, go to newsarama.com, type in Marvel sued by artists for Iron Man design. You can look at the picture there, or just type in Radix. I think you'll get a pretty good representation of it. They show the side by side of the Iron Man 3
That picture you showed me, he doesn't have a helmet. Does it completely mechanize a helmet onto this dude?
I'm not familiar with the character, so I have no idea.
Oh, I didn't know if there's more examples, but you showed me one.
Yeah, but his suit is very, very detailed, and it looks like if they were like, hey, we're reinventing Iron Man, I could see this being a suit in a comic book, definitely. Yeah. But it's also, you know, I mean, I don't know, like in this day and age, like they're all like, you look at Transformers and stuff, it's all super, like you can see every little bit of it, and they want more detail anyways. The other news was Charlie Cox talks Daredevil season 2.
I heard they confirmed that.
Yep, they did confirm it. He says he has to be careful because we just got commissioned, so I have no idea who's going to turn up, meaning characters. Based on the show we've created, which is very grounded in reality, I'd like to see Punisher, a little bit of Elektra. Man. Wouldn't mind Black Widow. She already exists in the universe. That'd be really cool. For too long without things. Oh, yeah. Bullseye. That was the other one. That's probably coming because he plays an integral role in Daredevil. And speaking of Daredevil, I'm going to go into weekly recommendations, which is now movies we've seen this week. I've changed it. I hope you don't mind.
I hope you don't mind.
I hope. I thought that weekly recommendations sounded better than movies we've seen this week
I was saying you just sounded very studious when you upgraded the title segment.
I've been doing a lot of work. I've added news and the weekly recommendations now. So I've been putting a lot into this podcast. I did do.
So I've been bleeding.
Yeah. I only have one, and that is Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix.
This is where I put in the work.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have that many recommendations. And I also thought we don't have to talk about every single movie that we've seen, only ones that we really want to recommend. Or, what would you say, like, ones that you wouldn't want people to see? What starts with an R, or that follows that same thing? Because I like weekly recommendations, or, like, you know...
Or rejections.
Rejections. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Now you're putting effort in.
Oh, man. We're both really smart and like, it's like a kind of think tank more than a podcast. Yeah,
it's like we're a team.
Yeah.
So weekly recommendations and rejections. All right, there we go.
Okay.
Mine's Daredevil. I watched the entire series. Cannot recommend it higher.
See, there
it's
you go. Now you're where I'm at.
Incredible. I'm probably going to rewatch it again. It's so good.
Those last episodes are
insane.
So fun.
I think it's my favorite thing that Marvel's ever put out.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it is. It's honestly engaging, beautiful.
Yeah.
Action fucking packed.
Yeah, insane. Very violent.
Great, great fucking bone-breaking action.
It reminds me kind of Game of Thrones and the fact that they have like a whole bunch of intertwining story arcs with each other and stuff. It's not as spread out as Game of Thrones, obviously, because there's way more characters in that.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good 25%. I mean, there's no complexity, just not as much complexity. People wouldn't see it as that because the names are Anglo-American names.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, it's easier, the Dothraki, Targaryen.
Very much easier to take in because it only takes place in one place.
But it is a multifaceted story. It spans years. It shows origin. It shows it shows great progress in the season. It's not a season that...
Are you talking about Game of Thrones?
No. I'm talking about Daredevil. Okay. Like
it does span years. You're right. Because they they go back, like kind of like showing origins of each character, and in a almost Arrow like way, but instead of like, but and it also has the same Arrow type thing of where like something happens in that episode, like oh they're doing a thing about Foggy and Matt. Something will happen later in that episode that kind of like goes with that as well.
Or triggers. Yeah. You see where he got that instinct from in the past. Yes, things like that, which is good because then it just develops a layer to the character that you didn't have before.
Wilson Fisk, probably one of my favorite villains of all time. The way that Vincent D'Onofrio portrayed him was incredible.
I was so, and it's really a common thing to like, you know, you root for the villain. It's the loving hate of a villain. I fucking love that dude. Like he was so fucking cool. Like anytime he was being the reserved kind of like facade, I was like, I wish I was that cool.
Yeah.
I wish I was that cool.
Yeah, and like my only things from him were reading of comics, and which I haven't read much with Wilson Fisk in it, but and the Spider-Man TV show and the Michael Clark Duncan Fisk, which I think Vincent D'Onofrio has a really awesome way of giving that character insane amount of depth, and it gives to a lot of like awesome reasons to why the character is that way.
Yes.
Instead of just like, I'm going to take over the city, Spider-Man, you know, like real just like
it even gives like little chintzy niches into why he almost acts almost like a childish at times about things. I want revenge.
Yeah, I've heard him like called like just a man baby.
Yes.
Like that's what he is, and like that's why he's always kind of like not present in the social, because he's trying to like pressed down that anger that he has.
It's almost always right on the old eyes.
Yeah, definitely.
Waiting to pop out.
Just one thing is going to set him off. So yeah, if you haven't been watching Daredevil, fuck man, what are you doing? It's so good.
So cool.
All right, go ahead with your weekly recommendations and rejections. I'm going to add that.
My weekly recommendations, mm-hmm. The Voices. Incredibly fucking unique movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Bobby was telling me about it. And, he's been watching it.
Yeah, he's the one that recommended it to me. Fucking hilarious. Fucking hilarious. Premise is this guy is pretty much, he has mental sort of neuroses, nervousness, you know, anxieties, paranoia. They put him on these pills, but you sort of realize during the film that the pills make him gleam life as this shiny sort of kind of reflection of himself, because he's really kind and gentle. He's, hey, morning, everyone. How's it going? And the whole world kind of looks happy with him.
Huh.
And so his apartment's real clean. His dog talks to him. His cat talks to him.
But it's not reality.
The dog comes in and he's like, oh, I love you. Where have you been? When the door rings, he's like, I'll protect you. It's a good analyzation of what a dog does. He's like, alert, alert, alert.
That's awesome.
A dog going
instead
to the
just
door.
Him barking and not knowing why they do it. That's really cool.
He's like, don't worry, I'll get your back. Like at the door barking.
It's like the dog from Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dog is.
And the cat is a...
Is it Look Who's Talking?
In a way, but it's a really mature Look Who's Talking, because the cat is a fucking maniac, a psychotic maniac, pretty much. Real methodical, hey, you fucking loser, feed me. Really creepy, treats him like shit, and the dog's like, don't pick on him.
That's funny. That's exactly how I do the voices for Elena's dog and cat.
Really?
Yeah. The cat's always plotting and just being shitty as fuck, and the dog's just like, I love you, I love you, I love
but
you.
But when shit starts going bad for him, vis-a-vis murders and stuff...
Yeah.
The cat's like, you did it.
It is a
You're
thriller,
doing
correct?
Good. Yeah, I mean, it's a really fucking intense thriller, because then you see these different shades of reality once he's off the pills.
Huh.
And it's fucked up. It's a really cool, unique movie. Ryan Reynolds is awesome. Anna Kendrick is in it. She's amazing. There's this other British actress who's, those are the two big hitters. But fucking awesome. It's a cool film to see Ryan Reynolds in before we might see him doing Deadpool.
Deadpool. Wait, so when did this come out?
I think late last year.
I'll check it out. But yeah, I haven't heard of it, so I'm assuming that it's not
I think I saw that it was added to
The Voice or The Voices?
The Voices.
Okay.
Absolutely, just a really good, funny premise, with a really fucking, it's horror, right? Yeah, it's thriller.
2014, yeah, you're right.
Also, so that's a total recommend. I've been watching shows. Mm-hmm. I recommend everything I saw.
Okay.
Some of them are rewatches. Two of them are new movies. But the two shows I was rewatching was last season of Top Gear, which Jeremy Clarkson got sacked. He got fired for hitting a producer in the face.
With?
His fist.
Ah.
But I think it was something 22 seasons. I'm probably wrong, but it's the longest running automotive, auto sports show on Earth. Highest fucking margin. It blew every other show about
racing.
Which
is insane, because you look at Duck Dynasty and they're fucking pretty much God hates fags, and all that type of stuff. And what was it? AMC? TLC maybe?
Yeah.
Whoever it was, they were they don't represent our views. And then they kind of put them on hiatus. And then they're and all their fans were fuck you. No. And they were all right, never mind. Yeah, they're good.
Oh, no.
So I'm surprised that they with one hit.
After Jeremy Clarkson got sacked.
Yeah.
James May and, Richard Hammond, the two other co-hosts, they were peace.
Right, because that dude is...
James May quit, and it was just confirmed. And I want to say Richard Hammond is pretty much just, getting bought out of his contract, too.
Wow.
I mean, it's literally killing the BBC, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Definitely, that was, one of their highest-rated shows. I mean, even over here now, it's made such a huge splash.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious. It's incredible. Yeah. You don't need to like Cars to like it.
I've seen one of the episodes. He's driving in like this tiny coffin car, and he's just smashed up against the windshield and shit. And he's hilarious. Yeah, he is really funny.
Yeah, very fucking cool. So I was watching some of that. I just started rewatching True Detective season one.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend as well.
Yeah, not into the preparation of season two because they're unrelated, but just because it's gorgeous.
As far as we know, they're unrelated, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, if they meet up with the other detectives, it'll be a surprise to me.
Definitely. I think that they're going to take it into like an American Horror Story type thing.
Yeah.
But with actual different actors this time instead of like using the same cast and doing a completely different storyline.
Because they're True Detective and they can get whatever cast they feel like.
Yeah, especially after that fucking first season.
Yeah. And the last movie that I saw this week has made such a fucking dominant impression on me. Only Lovers Left Alive. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jim Jarmusch.
Give the premise.
Yes. It's a Jim Jarmusch film. He did Coffee and Cigarettes, Ghost Dog, Dead Man. A lot of his films are real sort of slow, but really powerful and scenic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say Coffee and Cigarettes is very scenic, but yeah.
No. But the other two I talked about were. Okay. Coffee and Cigarettes, I think it's more of a fucking showcase or like a monologue.
Yeah, they kind of got like a whole bunch of rad actors and just had them sit down and literally smoke cigarettes film or drink dialogue, coffee and I mean, then film it. Yeah, and it's just set like usually it's almost it's not one shot per one. It's usually three cameras, like one establishing and then like over the shoulders for both.
Yeah, left and right. Yeah, which is, you know, it shows his diversity, but also he's sort of just praised as this really unique voice in filmmaking, but very under the. He's sort of in the shadows. He's not David Fincher or Spielberg. Like, he's not up there running around making the big dogs. He makes the real cool indie films, kind of. My God, Only Lovers Left Alive. I know I'm going to say his name wrong. Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Who plays Loki.
Okay, yeah.
Is the main character.
I think that's right. I'm a positive.
As well as, oh my gosh, what is her name? Tilda Swinton. She was the bad girl, lady, like the bad witch in Narnia.
All right, yeah. The White Witch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Running with polar bears and stuff on her cool little...
Do they keep making those? I know they made like Prince Caspian or some shit, and then Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I can't remember the other one.
I think there's a third, yeah.
Okay.
But such a gorgeous film. From the score, which was... performed by this band called Squirrel, like S-K-U-R-L.
All right.
Real, like, noise rock, experimental, fucked up, like, shit from, like, Europe. But they make this gorgeous fucking soundtrack with all these really nice harmonics and shit to where it's real eerie, but it comes in as it gets kind of crushing, but nice. They're still doing dialogue. Beautiful, beautiful portrayal. It's about two vampires who are ancient as fuck, like, medieval. And one of them lives in... I want to say she lives in like Dubai and he lives in Detroit and they're like a couple, like, but they go and do their own, you know, there's so much time between them. They're like, I'm going to go over here for like 20 years.
Okay.
Hang out here. And then, you know,
so it spans a really long time period.
Well, no, it's like, you can tell their past. They talk about their past and their lineage, but you also tell that like he calls her on the phone and like they Skype and shit. Huh. And, she's just like, I miss you. And he's like, you know, I miss you too. She's like, you don't look well, because they drink synthetic blood. They're like vegetarians pretty much.
Yeah, true blood.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible. Like, they try to be as civil as they can, but they refer to humans as zombies.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. He's like, the fucking zombies around here just fry my nerves.
That's a really cool take on it, kind of like the sheeple type deal, which I think would be more appropriate for them, but zombies are in right now.
Really
so
cool. Yeah, it's fun. He talks about them being like husks of skin that don't know that their consciousness is such a gift.
Yeah.
So that's why he calls them zombies. Yeah. Like, they're walking, they're doing stuff, right. But nothing there.
I understand. Yeah.
No reason to even turn people. She asks him, like, why didn't you turn? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Why would you want them around forever? That sounds awful.
Fuck it all. Gorgeous, gorgeous film. The best parts are him and her driving, because she eventually comes to see him because he's just pretty much like suicidal. Like, he doesn't want to live. He has a wooden bullet and shit. Like, he's like, I'm tired.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So does he have to shoot himself in the heart for the wooden bullet to work? Okay.
Gets like,
that'd be a weird way to hold a gun. Like, you know.
Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, for sure.
they're driving, and there's these scenes where they talk about such gorgeous themes that you would think ancient creatures would talk about, like pretty much like how different eras came to be, and they describe how they were how happy they were during eras. Like, oh, do you remember the French Renaissance? Like, what a great time. But as a whole, they're like, wow, oh, we were happy then during those hundreds of years.
That is a really cool like narrative to have, because you usually don't get that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so it's expansive, and their minds are so well tuned and like refined that where they're driving and she's like, why did you move to Detroit? And he says something like, I came for the music, because, you know, tons of bands have come out of Detroit, and he drives a Detroit car, like an old muscle car. And she's like, I just look around and I don't think these people realize what a heaven they live in. And he's like, what do you mean? She's like, when the cities of the South burn, this place will bloom. They have water. I was like, what the fuck?
Wow.
That's such a cool thought, because she's thinking not tomorrow or a year from now.
No, it's hundreds.
100 years. The South is going to fucking run. You know what I mean? Like, those are areas that are going to become arid because of our waste. And this place has natural water sources, the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
It will bloom. It will be a paradise.
Huh.
But not in the next 10 years, probably.
Definitely not. No. Yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
They even view
ways.
Everything in that kind of like long spectrum.
Yeah. That's even really out nice. To the future. It really is. And like I said, the music is a fucking character in itself. It's just a fulfilling, gorgeous, like, rich looking movie.
Say that name again.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Write that down. Go watch that.
Fuck
shit. Is it on Netflix?
No.
Okay, so you gotta go.
You
find
gotta
that
get
shit.
It.
All right, we're gonna hop into genre 5 now. I wanted to say, tweet us at EYECANTREAD, and if you want, give us suggestions for in-depths, Test of Tony's, genre 5s, or I'm gonna start tweeting what our genre 5 is, usually the day of recording. And you can respond back, and I will read your genre 5 on air.
I'm really excited to see that kind of stuff, because I have heard people people sometimes give me suggestions, and then I try to incorporate them.
Definitely.
Kind of take their ideas as mine.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying.
Well, why not? Well, now I'm going to give it to you. I will shout out your name, and I will shout out your genre 5, or if you just have a couple, whatever, I'll start doing that. I got two today. I'm going to start off with T.R. Rinkus. He only had one robot, and it was Alpha 5 from... Power Rangers, and Elania at Riot Lane, and T.R. Rinkus is at T.R. Rinkus, at Riot Lane, she said Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons, which
both
I thought
awesome
was a very
robots.
Interesting take. Yeah, definitely.
That's a good one. She was really mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. She really got the fuck around on that one wheel.
Yeah, definitely.
That was awesome.
And she was kind of like the Alpha of the Jetsons, if you think about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she was badass.
All right, so now you know. That's I Can't Read, at I Can't Read. If you don't have a Twitter, go grab one and just to tweet us.
Just to tweet us.
Now go over to your genre 5, favorite robots.
Favorite robots.
And I'm sorry that it's not a genre. We are running out of ideas. Hence
honestly,
why I'm going to you, people.
I'm also thinking that, you know, it was an idea that worked for, what, 30 episodes?
Yeah.
It's still working. We can do things we're going to refine it, trust
me. Yeah.
Until then, you guys help us out. But robots from movies and films, my 5 are Iron...
Movies and films, huh?
I said movies and films?
Yeah.
You're fucking making me stupid now. Movies and TV.
Yeah, there you go.
And films and pictures and stuff.
Oh, moving.
Iron Giant.
Nice. Rock. Tree. He was Groot. That was Vin Diesel. Yeah, Vin Diesel voiced.
Such a fucking cool looking Iron robot. Giant. I like that old iron, almost like a fucking steam engine with legs.
Yeah, it was kind of steampunky in itself, too, yeah.
I like rivets.
And not only that, the artwork in that movie is fucking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when he's running and knocking down phone lines and, like, crushing cars.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is fast as fuck frame rate, like...
Yeah, that's a great-looking flick.
Beautiful. Second one on my list, this is one that's a little more insider-y. Major Mitako Kusanagi. She is the... She's the main character in the Ghost in the Shell manga and film series. Multiple fucking films. Ghost in the Shell, Ghost in the Shell Innocence, Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, Ghost in the Shell Arise.
And they're making a new one too, right?
And they're making a new full-length film for Ghost in the Shell Arise, because Arise is a series and so is Standalone Complex. There's also... tons of fucking manga.
Now, do you think they're going to squash the series, or do you think they're just going to do a movie that's based off that series?
I couldn't speculate. I want to say that it may be the way, like
a continuation.
Firefly.
A continuation then, yeah, of the series. Yeah, of the series. Kind of like wrap it up or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's based on her travels in Arise. It'll be the next step for her, but I don't know if they'll continue with the series after the motion picture.
Gotcha.
Which I don't know if anyone's ever kept going with a series after a major motion picture.
Power Rangers, Batman the Animated Series.
The same one?
Yeah, Batman the Animated Series. They had Mask of the Phantasm. And they also had Sub-Zero, the Mr. Freeze one, and that was based inside. And I believe Return of the Joker for Batman Beyond. Yeah, that was, I think that came in between seasons 2 and 3 of Batman Beyond, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not. I know it.
Sweet, jeez.
Sure.
Don't play off like maybe if I guessed it right.
Yeah, yeah. Mask of the Phantasm came out pretty early on. Like, I think like 2 years into Batman, the animated series.
What?
And it was supposed to be straight to DVD. And they were like, this thing has like such good like reception that we should just throw it in theaters. And I remember seeing that in theaters. It was fucking incredible. Seeing a cartoon like
that.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they like, I think they upped the frame rate on it, and they also had to make it the aspect ratio for a theater as well. Yeah. Cause they couldn't, cause back then they
stretched that out.
They made everything made for TV, like a complete square. That's why if you notice, if you watch stuff on Netflix and shit, that's older, it'll be the black bars on the right and left instead of the top and bottom.
Yep. I loved his, Phantasm's blade.
She,
it's like
her.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spoilers.
Oh my gosh,
that movie's fucking incredible. Yeah. It holds up really well too.
She's like a hot hook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was like Batman's love, and they buried it so well that you didn't really think that that's who the Phantasm was. That you thought that they were just telling like a long story.
Yeah,
but she
I
comes
just haven't
back.
Seen it since I was 12.
Yeah, it holds up. I'll let you borrow it if you like. It's great. I fucking there's a recommendation.
All right,
go ahead. What was all right? So we're
tweet
on
the
third.
Oh, my third robot, Bishop.
Yeah, right on. That's
a
good one.
I like Bishop. If you don't know who Bishop is, fuck off.
And we've talked about lengths of aliens and aliens. Mm-hmm. So well, there you go. I gave it away.
Yeah, you gave it away.
Son
you
of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. You're the worst.
I am.
T-800 Terminator series.
T-800-101.
T-800-101
is the skin model. T-800 is the one without the skin.
I like the T-800-101.
Yeah, the Arnold model.
Yeah, that has the Cyberdyne chip that can be
extracted, which was in a deleted scene in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I got the double set videos of that when it came out to Blockbuster, and I remember watching that. They had a Sarah
Name
Connor
drop.
the Blockbuster. You remember that archaic thing? The girl that played Sarah Connor, she has a twin, and when they shot that, because it's a straight shot from the mirror,
yeah,
and she was working on a dummy, and then Arnold was in the opposite side talking,
yeah,
and Sarah and her twin was actually doing all the work and stuff. It wasn't an actual mirror. I thought that was really neat.
That's cool.
Yeah, not that anyone fucking saw it because they deleted the scene, but yeah,
that's awesome though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do like the 800 model, the looks of it.
Oh, it's so fucking cool. Yeah. That the fire coming out of that and then the red eyes and it comes up on the screen. I think it was the beginning of Judgment Day. And then it fucking steps on a skull and the fucking those cool things fly over.
Oh, and they have their laser guns and their ships exploding, their miniature ships.
Yep.
You can tell that thing's only about a half, like a couple feet wide.
Yeah,
at
definitely.
Most. My last one is the Daleks.
Oh, okay. Well, Doctor Who.
Yes.
I'm not into Doctor Who, so.
Exterminate.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I've heard the name, and I know that it's from Doctor Who. I have no idea what they look like.
They because Doctor Who is so fucking broad.
Yeah,
you have to do a lot of different fucking work on certain adversaries. The Daleks being probably his most prominent adversary, because their fucking aptitude to adjust to whatever it takes to kill him, and they always fail because it's the Doctor. But
right.
They go to extreme beautiful lengths to try to kill this fucking guy, including like uploading their own fucking consciousness to a different being to try to become them.
Are they a hive mentality?
Yes. Okay. I mean, they run off. Yeah, they run off of a core. And then there's factions. There's split factions because they have independence. If they break free from the hive in certain alliteration, like different versions of them, there was nothing but hive. Other versions, there were pretty much like rogues and assassins, ones that had like fucking a growing amount of consciousness and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Very, very diverse enemy, but just really fucking cool in because they're also fucking like almost impervious, and they're actually like the core of them. They're a species, but the Dalek suit is the robot suit is the only way they exist. They can't, like, they couldn't get out of the suit and run around.
But they can take over other consciousness of other things? You said that before.
Yeah, with their, like, they plug in, like, pretty much, like...
So, like, kind of USB...
Plug in themselves, yeah.
But then they can transfer that consciousness onto something else, but they have to do it from that droid.
Yeah, they can't get out of the droid for any reason ever.
Unless...
And that's why the robots are so strong, because that's really much, like, pretty much like they've never left the womb.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like, that's neat.
Yeah. And they're not... It's not so much they're born, but they're created, but I forget how they fucking reproduce or anything, but... Daleks are just fucking
sweet.
Well,
I mean, I would assume that they create another robot, then download the consciousness into that one, or split consciousnesses of the hive mentality into the new one. I mean, I'm sure that they just create their own shit.
Yeah, give a new... Yeah, make a fresh embryo.
That would make...
Embryo.
Yeah. Okay. Solid genre 5, sir.
Yeah, that was fun.
Wally.
Eve.
I fucking love Wally. I think he's such a cool little robot.
Yeah, he's cute.
So much personality. Just a great thing. Another good one, Marvin the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Played by Alan Rickman. I love that. he's just so fucking... He's like the Eeyore of robots. Yeah. Fantastic. Let's see. I wrote down a whole bunch of robots, and I'm kind of going through it now. Ed 209, I'm going to throw up with on there.
Well, you like him. He's a pretty simple guy.
Simple guy, but looks so sick.
Yeah.
And he roared like a lion. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was like it's
and
like...
And then cried like a fucking like
infant.
Screeching infant robot.
Which was really weird, but I mean, I really enjoy... I love the look of him. I have the T-800 Model 101, and I have T-1000, but I'm not going to put either of those on the list because you did.
Mm-hmm.
C-3PO and R2-D2, I know it's two. But I feel like they are one because, I mean, they are like the Jay and Silent Bob of the Star Wars universe. You kind of follow those characters throughout the entire thing.
But if you had to pick in a fire?
R2-D2.
Okay,
yeah. I'm sorry, C-3PO.
Hey, don't worry.
R2-D2 has a lot of personality with all these beeps and whistles.
He's not here.
How rude. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. He is here.
Master Anakin.
Annie. Oh, fuck. I just went Jar Jar on that. I also had Iron Giant, but I'm not going to go with that one. I'm going to throw this one up for Bob Daryl.
Oh, you like that little guy.
The Data Analyzing Robot Youth Life Form. Daryl was a cool movie.
I know.
Did
you
watch it?
You enjoy Daryl. I don't.
Did you watch it, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen Daryl.
Well, at least you gave it a chance.
Yes.
And so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. I need one more. I'm going to go with...
It's like Russian roulette over here.
I know, dude. I got a lot of ones on here. I'm not sure. I have Transformers as a whole, but I'm not going to go with that.
Wow. That's how bland those fucks are that you're like, all the movies, every robot, it's one.
I mean, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Megatron because I think he looks fucking sick. But that's not going to be my one. I'll go with Johnny Five's kind of like Wally.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a very... Wally-ish looking.
Definitely.
Wally looks like...
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like that they
Johnny
took a
Five,
lot
yeah.
from him. Even like the
Even
tracks.
Even though this is genre 5.
Yeah, for him. But I'm not going to put him on the... Fuck you, Johnny 5. I'll go with David from AI.
Aww.
Yeah.
He holds on to hope more than any other robot.
Yeah, and that was a great movie, too. Spielberg, little kid from Sixth Sense. Why can't I think of it? Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
Fantastic film. I haven't seen that in a long time. Really want to rewatch it. Some honorable mentions. Gertie from Moon.
Yes. Yeah. I thought of Gertie and Hal.
I thought of... oh, nice. Oh, fuck. Who? Oh, son of a bitch. What's her name? She's from the Portal games, but I know we weren't doing games.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, son of a bitch. Someone's screaming at the fucking...
I know. I'm almost saying it's something with a G.
Is it? I've got to look it up now.
Is it fucking Gertie?
No, I don't think so.
No.
It's not. Hold on.
That see. Bitch.
Yeah, that's stupid
Or
bitch.
I really like fucking, Jesus, the robots from Interstellar.
The robots from Portal 2 are fantastic. Portal 2.
Oh, yeah, the two little...
Yeah.
Yeah, the twins.
Atlas and Peabody, I believe are their names. Gladys.
Fuck.
You're about to say it, son of a bitch. My bad, dude. I should have let you go with it.
Just let me go home.
All right.
Just
let me go home. Books. No.
see you later.
I also got Sonny from My Robot. I really dug him. I like the look of those robots as well.
With the little plastic face over. Yeah, like the
but it gave it a lot of character, and those robots look sick as fuck. RoboCop, Bishop, all the Transformers.
RoboCop is not a robot. Yeah. He's a man.
Well, he's like, yeah, androidish.
Do you really want to fight the philosophy of that film?
All right, you win.
You win. It's Alex Murphy.
All right. You son of a bitch. Do you have any honorable mentions you'd like to?
Kane from RoboCop 2.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I watched that with the fucking nuke.
Yeah.
That's the drug.
You look so good, Kane.
I think it's fucking weird. You ever play Star Fox?
Yeah.
64.
Yeah.
Remember the brain thing you fight at the end? Yeah. That looks like
that
fucking Kane.
Evil face.
And how it reacts inside the machine and stuff. That looks exactly like it. I wonder if they got it from that. I never put that together until I saw RoboCop 2. I was like, oh, that's like the boss in fucking Star Fox 64.
I think RoboCop 2 would have been before Star Fox 64. Yeah.
Because I feel like the first one came out in like 87 or 89, and the second one came out in like early 90s, which I believe the Nintendo 64 came out around 96.
Oh, yeah.
Or 98, actually. I'm not sure. But yeah, so that was Genre 5. Like I said, tweet us. I
can't
read.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Sorry.
Robots are great.
I don't want to interrupt you. At I can't read.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're fine. I think I've said it enough. They're probably like, shut the fuck up. Do the test of Tony.
No one's treating you.
We're not
going
to tweet you. We got two tweets. I was pretty stoked about that. and they didn't say anything that I wanted them to, other than they named one robot each. I was hoping that they'd give me a list.
What were you asking? What did you...
I was asking people for their genre fives of robots.
Oh,
like,
but
I was
it actually takes a bit of effort to create a genre five. They're like, here's a genre one.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I don't need to do homework.
But yeah, all right, fair enough. Well,
yeah.
At least we got something.
Give us anything.
Yeah,
we're
fucking, read it.
We're desperate. Awards.
We need content so badly. No.
Feed my mouth hole.
Yeah, we definitely have enough content. I usually fucking jab about Genre 5 for fucking 45 minutes.
I love it. I love how our, what we've seen mixed with banter bullshit / Genre 5.
Yeah.
Is the first half of the show.
And now we got some news and shit too.
News and shit. And now here comes the test of Tony that, in my opinion, is getting to be the roughest part of my week. Other than waking up for work, this is the doozy.
Now, both me and Tony and I had to shell out $6 a piece for this week's episode of
this.
I Can't Read. Because I couldn't. I found Blood Diamond, Spanish.
Yep. Why not?
Motherfucker. I was like, that's weird that they're not subtitling them speaking, but they're speaking English. I almost said American like an asshole.
Wow.
I didn't, though. I don't even know why I fucking called
myself
out on it.
As I was eating Freedom Fries, they were speaking American.
Yeah, and then, like, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to just hit the bumper and see when they, like, you know, a white person comes on screen and see if they're speaking that. And, it was all Spanish.
Okay.
And Hulk wouldn't, download it, got to 92.3, and then fucking somebody told me to fuck off, I guess.
Yep.
So, yeah, $6 on Hulk and Blood Diamond.
We're really bleeding for you guys.
Yeah, Hulk.
2003 Hulk.
Yes.
Oh.
Now, it starts off with a lot of animal torture.
Yeah, yeah.
Just him cutting up starfish and fucking stabbing jellyfish and cutting lizards.
I was going to make a note that...
Blowing up frogs in it and shit.
That animals in this movie are almost as shitty as the main character.
Oh, yeah, the poodle fight. We'll get to that.
Uh-huh. Are we going into... Now, what kind of depth are we going into?
No, we don't
with
have to go. We don't have to go, like,
shit
too much in.
Don't give anything away, or...
Oh, I'm sure no one gives a shit.
Okay.
just hit me with the things that bother you. The animal torturing beginning I thought was really fucking dumb. No. The little kid that played young Bruce Banner was cool. David Banner's younger self was all right. I thought it was weird that he injected himself with, like, the serum. David Banner did, Bruce Banner's father. Fucked his wife, his kid came out, and then his kid had that genetic thing. I don't remember that being part of the comics. I believe he just got blasted by gamma radiation.
Yeah. Which, I thought, him reaching in was all it took.
Yeah, and this was fucking done by Ang Lee, too.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of mind-blowing?
Honestly, and I love Eric Bana. Actually, Jennifer Connelly is in both of our films.
We watched a lot of Jennifer Connelly.
I
meant to mention
that
as well.
That chick is, I'm going to say it now, a bit mundane.
Wow, yeah.
A bit mundane.
Which do you think she was more attractive in?
I like her in Blood Diamond because she's a little more believable.
Yeah, I will. She sucked in The Hulk. Honestly, not like acting-wise, her character. Betty? Yeah. She did not give a fuck about him. Like, dude, she cried a little bit, like, when he's like, oh, you're getting captured. But when she died, he's like, ah, whatever. Or when he died, she, well, so she thinks.
Yeah.
She's like, ah, whatever.
Eh, it happens.
Also,
made my peace.
The main villain being David Banner, his father, at the end of the movie, yeah, after he fights fucking three fucking mutated dogs, one being a pit bull, one being a poodle, and I can't remember the other one. But what a weird thing.
Honestly,
I was like,
you hadn't, like, go through the content of Hulk, you could find a fucking villain.
Yeah. Three dogs. So weird.
And honestly, and stop holding the camera on the bad CG. Just stop. Move on.
I honestly think for 2003, it wasn't that bad.
It was okay. But
Hulk looked pretty good in the
last
shots.
I don't care for him
bouncing
around.
Yeah, the jumping.
I do like when he's beating tanks up with
tanks. That's one of his things, though, is that he does jump.
The big long jumps?
Yeah. Yeah, do that. They do that in fucking Planet Hulk.
That's funny.
Yeah.
See, I don't know enough about the Hulk. I just thought that looked fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, Superman started off like that as well.
He
didn't fly.
I like that.
Well, no,
yeah,
in the original comics, he never flew.
Well, I like, even like when they did that.
Yeah.
In Superman,
it's
like,
just like he can leap like a fucking something in a single bound. I can't remember what the thing is.
A building.
A building in a single bound, yeah. Because he didn't fly in the original Superman. He could just jump really far, kind of like the Hulk in
this
one.
I remember that series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The dogs blowing up into green mist, I thought was a odd thing to do.
That's
like, he literally just punches one. It's like, poof. I'm like, what? Gamma radiation. I was like,
he was filled with gamma gas.
Yeah, honestly, like, that's what they were made out of. Like, yeah, there's no skin, no nothing. Just turned into gamma mist.
It was all just gamma juice. And
so odd.
And it went to aerosol when he knocked it out of him.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was one of the laziest, like, comic book portrayal. I don't see how someone can be lazy when you have fucking storyboards drawn out.
Yeah.
Story written.
Yeah.
For you.
But I think that's the time period of, like, they didn't want to go completely with comic books because they felt like they would fail.
But then, shockingly enough, he has all those fucking
panel
shots.
I completely agree. I was like,
compilations in it that he, like, consciously did.
It, like, aesthetically, the way that it was shot and edited, I really enjoyed it. Like, it kept my eye. I was like, oh, that's a really cool shot. Oh, that's a really sick shot, too. Oh, that's really comic booky. He kept the essence of it very close to heart. But the story was complete and utter dog shit.
Yeah.
And even, like, the Hulk, at some points, I was like, that looks good. He was a little too green for me. Which I know sounds
weird.
Yeah, but it was like super vibrant green, which I know he is in the comic, but if you look at Mark Ruffalo's Hulk from like the Avengers,
hey, he's got a little patina on him.
Yeah, duller. It's kind of like what
he's
they did with
he's been working on cars.
Like Superman and shit. Like, you know, they fucking kind of wash him, which I wanted to mention this at the top of the show. Totally forgot about it. What if Man of Steel was in color? I saw this thing online where they re-saturated the scene to make it before they completely bleaked everything out, made it gray. Like, the sky he's flying in is blue and his cape's bright red.
Yeah.
Looks gorgeous. Check it out online. It's a really cool portrayal of Superman.
That's cool.
Gives Man of Steel a little bit more hope to it as well.
I mean, honestly,
instead of him being like
every DC
corpse.
Trailer for the last like 8 years has been, do you want the darkest, most sad,
and that's because of
evil.
Nolan, which is fine because it makes a lot of sense for Batman to be like that.
Yes.
Does it not? I mean, like, he's supposed to be from the dark, bleak, like crowish, almost like the Crow almost feels like a black and white movie, but it's not. It's so, like, fucking, like, gray-washed almost and stuff. Yeah,
can't rain all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know. They brought up a really good point in it of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. If they would make Batman that really washed-out character, be a fantastic contrast with Superman's vibrant red and blue colors like you get in The Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller. Anyways, let's go back to the Hulk.
Oh, why? It's not worth
why?
I mean, honestly, if you're in the hospital and you can't change the channel on the little TV, give it a watch.
Yeah.
You know, it'll keep your attention enough. But if you have any other choice, read a book, walk outside, hang out with a chick.
Yeah.
Anything but Hulk 2003.
Those all sound like really good options just to not watch a movie.
In general.
Yeah.
Like, just go
you
live your
been
life.
Like, fucking shove bamboo under your fingernails, waterboard yourself. Anything else but watching the Hulk.
Well, like I said, I told you earlier when we were talking downstairs just that this has been a very grim week for me in terms of the content I've been listening to. But right before I left work, I was listening to Jason Silva, and he does has a YouTube channel called Shots of Awe. Hmm. And he does that. I think I've shown you that video about like the Masonic rapture of awe. That he's pretty much in the woods just kind of discussing what it is for human beings to experience awe.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's, he's a futurist.
Okay.
Futurologist. He just talks about like what our potential is as human beings. Is that kind of like
a conceptualist?
Yeah, he conceptually like just kind of defines like, you know, our essence as human beings.
Does he have white hair and is he Japanese?
No.
Okay, I don't know if it was that guy. Like, if he was like, I can make a lightsaber. If this is why a lightsaber won't work.
I forget his name.
Yeah, but he's in all that fucking, like, the Discovery Channel bullshit when they try to debunk stuff.
He kind of looks like a long, curly-haired surfer guy. Like, handsome young guy.
Okay.
Very non... what you would think of in terms of an intellectual sort of...
like the guy that's always like aliens lecturing. With his fucking burnt skin and his fucking fried hair that looks like he just got shocked by fucking electricity. He looks like the little kid from fucking Jurassic Park after the fence incident.
after it hits him. I watched that right before I left work. I listened to it right before I left work. And he talks about just, he says, instead of... dulling the senses with screens, try going outside. Natural history, natural awe, natural beauty is, it's really everywhere. The sky changes its hue every 6 seconds. Like, go check that out. That's a painting. That's there's really good, rhapsodic, gorgeous, fucking stellar things out there for you.
But the reason why I feel people don't do that is because, I mean, you can go into a fucking wonderland of shit that doesn't even exist that tells a really cool story or a really cool narrative. And don't get me wrong, it is making us fucking robots and we're like fucking 40 years away from the Matrix, but I'm just saying, like...
technological singularity, dude.
We take for granted the things around us because we see them every day. We don't, think...
Yes.
Unless you go to, like, Arizona or you go to California and you see something that's like the things you have, but bigger or brighter or bluer or greener and all that type of shit, you know?
And that's... There's a... I wish I could remember the scientific name for it. There's an actual... a term for... repetitiveness for human beings. When our brain takes it in and maps it in its mind, eventually it becomes secondary. It becomes numb, dull.
Yeah.
You can drink that coffee but barely taste it. You can drive that street but barely see where you're going.
I would say numb.
Yeah. There is a numbness that becomes that repetition creates, and then you literally... You don't
stop
have
experiencing.
Visceral, you can't have visceral experiences if you've done that so many times before. Your brain's like, no, it's not new. It's not relevant. I'm not going to even operate at full fucking capacity.
That's why they, to be more in the moment instead of outside of yourself and like, kind of like thinking of what you need to do or what you're going to do or whatever the fuck your brain kind of like sits on while it's not doing anything else or while it's doing something but it knows it already so it doesn't have to think about it. They say like drive a different way to work, like for a while. It takes 2 weeks for the brain to make a new neural pathway.
Yeah.
So they say like drive a new way to work, do something else, and it'll keep you in that moment and keep you more like fucking like attached to the actual things around you instead of us being...
I get home and I'm like, well, how did I get here?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't recall the event of driving. I know I drove safely, I had my belt on, I used my blinkers, but I can't tell you, like, what songs I listened to, if there was a crash on the road. I don't know. It's all sort of a fuzziness, sort of a fuzzy recollection.
You need new experiences in your life instead of doing the fucking same exact things. And I think that's one of the reasons why people go towards movies. And
like, that's why I do. Yeah. I'm not financially stable enough to go on adventures on the weekends. I can go to the park. But
but you've been there many times.
Honestly, it's Northeast Ohio. Yeah. There's still surprises to be seen. You could see there's a whole fucking universe to be had watching a blade of grass grow if it's given the right narrative and the right analyzations. But I don't know how to do that. Yeah. So I let movies fucking transform me and take me on journeys to the stars.
And that's why I read comics. That's why I listen to podcasts all the time, because it's a new experience instead of me re-listening to but I've noticed lately I've been kind of going towards songs of like my childhood and stuff, when I had like a lot more, not childhood, but like teens era, when I had a lot more ambition, a lot more like, oh, the world's at my fingertips. And I'm not gonna lie, it really does make me have that sense again, and I feel more ambitious.
Yeah.
So I am enjoying that, and I'm not gonna lie, even listening to podcasts, I started like tuning them out and thinking of other stuff because I'm so used to hearing people talk, the same people.
Yeah.
Even if they're talking about new content, I'm just like, I just tuned out the last 10 minutes.
Well, even like I forget what it was. I think it was the smell of like an eraser, like a pencil top eraser. I skidded it, like got it real warm and sniffed it. And that's something that almost triggered, like, my youth just instantly, like, right there. I was like, taken to, oh God, I used to do this in like middle school and elementary school, and it felt good, and it felt like I was being like taken back to the past. And the same thing happens when I see movies from when I saw as a kid or listen to songs from as a kid, and it's fun. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
the mind is a really unique thing.
Definitely. And I feel like if you like feed it new stuff all the time, then it stops trying to revert back to like, you know, shit that makes you depressed or like, you know, things that get you down, yeah, or maybe thinking too far ahead, all that type of stuff. If you keep feeding it fresh things, it keeps it active. I think that's what it really is telling you. When you have like that stagnant movement where you're like, oh, I can't stop fucking, this won't get off my mind, blah, 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 blah. Start feeding new shit into yourself and you will start forgetting about that type of stuff.
Honestly, it's almost like I have to numb the thought of consciousness was a tragic misstep in evolution. That's, I think, what my main depression is that I'm fighting on a day to day.
Yeah, I feel like for a lot of people,
on a heavy level like that. Like,
yeah,
everyone, I think, subliminally is fighting that to some degree, but I think I fight it on a very like,
you think about it a lot, yeah.
Awareness.
I think more about time wasted, time spent doing things that like weren't really, you know, almost for the moment, the quick highs and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
And
that's the shit I think of, and like, and I just like, it bums me out so hard. I'll just have days where I'm just like down the dumps because I'm like, I've wasted so much fucking time and shit, you know. But like when you start feeding yourself new stuff and when you start doing new things, I really feel like that,
yeah,
helps you fucking get away from that type of stuff. And like we said,
yeah,
movies, comic books, video games, as long as you're like in there not trying, I don't know, I guess it is an escape and stuff, but I feel like you come out of it a little bit fresher if you can take something from it. That's the big thing.
I think
thing.
If you can't do things like kind of like physically or adventurously that gets your blood flowing and actually gets you getting visceral memories yourself, then you have to kind of like do the other mediums that we were talking about, like what we do here and discuss every week.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you're fighting, because you were saying you feel shitty when you just kind of don't do anything or you're lethargic. Mm-hmm. I mean, your cells are dying every day, and your mind knows that,
right?
Because it wants to be infinite,
yeah,
but your body is a temporary test, like vessel.
I mean, you're basically like a fucking like one of those hourglasses, and like,
yeah,
your brain knows that time's fucking ticking, and like,
yep,
you know, you don't want to wake up that one day and you're 50 fucking and working a bullshit job and you're still depressed about the same bullshit. At least have fun with life, you know?
Exactly. Because
wow, we got off on a weird tangent.
It was fun.
Yeah.
This is
stuff.
Like. It was fun.
Yeah.
Welcome to Brains and
All right,
stuff.
So, Brains and Stuff, our new podcast. did it pass the test of Tony?
No.
The Hulk?
No.
But it brought a great, great conversation,
oh, man,
out of it.
Thank you, Hulk.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Ang Lee.
Lee.
What's the dude's name?
Ang Lee.
No, the guy that played Bruce Banner.
Eric Bana.
I thought that was cool that he had his name sounded like Banner.
I hate that Eric Bana took that role.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Either way, well, he probably saw like, oh, fucking Spider-Man, you know, that had a franchise. I can
sign me
dude.
Up.
Yeah, sorry, Eric Bana.
To be connected to the worst piece of shit.
Honestly, that's like one of the most hated comic book movies other than like,
yeah,
Fantastic Four's, Daredevil. There's a lot out there.
There's
never
a, yo, you could.
Man-Thing.
That's
fucking,
not.
Yeah, there's a bunch. All right,
Howard
so.
Howard the Duck.
Ooh, hey, yeah, and he's coming back too. He's been in a whole bunch of after scenes, or two after scenes of, I think, Guardians of the Galaxy and maybe Thor Dark World. Because
that's what they've gotten the most requests for, yeah.
I think that's cool, though, that they're trying to get. Well, because like, people are like, Rocket Raccoon, fuck you! Fuck you, Marvel! Groot, fuck this! And then they saw it, and they were like, this is incredible.
But what did Howard
you
the
took,
Duck do? Was
you
he
took
in
fucking D-list characters and made them fucking amazing.
But was Howard the Duck like an assassin that like,
no idea,
killed and ripped
people's
heads off? I
just remember seeing girl duck titties in the movie and being like, nipples.
Okay, all
yeah,
right.
That's the only part that stuck out of to me. And it was animatronic, kind of like Ninja Turtle mutant, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There we go.
Yep.
Ninja Teenage Turtle mutants. All right, so let's hop into the in-depth. Blood Diamond. This is my first time seeing it. I'm going to go with some numbers real quick. $100 million budget. Domestic gross, $57 million.
Okay.
Which is quite under the budget. Foreign gross, that was $114 million. And then worldwide, $171 million. So
bam,
it did actually get to its thing.
Yeah, they made it.
Surpassed.
2006.
Yep.
You
want to hit me with the director? You do not know it.
I don't have the director written, but
Edward Zwick.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Connelly and Dijon Hansu.
Is that how you say Dijon?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Dijimon. Hansu sounds right.
Dion.
Dijon. Jamin.
That sounds a little.
Jamin? I'm Jamin.
Jamin man? No, I don't know.
Won't you like
incredible
Jamin
actor, though.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Everything I see him in, he is cool
he's
as fuck.
He's in a bunch of shit, too. Yeah, I'll fucking hop on his
great
own,
dude. He was in The Island. He played the black, like the black assault crew
gladiator
commander. Yeah,
yeah, he was one of the, he was partnered with Maximus, Guardians of the Galaxy.
He was in what is it called, it's one with Kevin Bacon that kind of looks like the same color, White Elephant.
Oh, okay, wow, good call. Elephant White,
same thing.
Curry Church. Yeah, he's been in a whole push. That wasn't a great one.
Good guy.
Yeah,
great actor.
Aragon, that's a dragon movie you probably enjoy.
No, that isn't that one, you piece of shit asshole. Last episode.
Two episodes ago.
No, I'm saying my last episode, if you keep talking about Rain of Fire like that, I'm fucking cutting it off. You're going to be like, welcome to Paul's Lonely Shithead Hour.
I still go with that, I can't read.
Hey, I'm Paul, I can't read.
Welcome to this week's installment. I can't read. I'm Paul.
Put pauses for everything you think I'd say if I ever come back.
I would just narrate it with you. Honestly, I would just do your voice. I could,
and then cut in whenever you want.
Yeah, just stop you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Focus. Yeah. Blood Diamond.
Let's get into it.
We're getting on too many cool tangents.
Too many cool tangents.
Leonardo fucking DiCaprio, dude. I can't say enough about this dude I fucking love him.
Yeah, he's really good. And this was in a time period where I feel like he was kind of getting kicked in the balls a lot for his acting.
Dude.
Not because of this, but I think people just kind of hated him. Like, he had that kind of Dane Cook rise of, like, he became superstar.
Where was he right before this?
And then, I'll check it out.
06, what the fuck was he? Because he did Departed after this and fucking blew up.
Yeah. Let's see, The Aviator. Departed was before Blood Diamond.
For real?
Well, it's in 2006 as well. I don't know about the release dates.
I want to say that he...
But Catch Me If You Can, Gangs in New York. I mean, he
was
in a lot of cool
shit. Dude, no, he
must have
been on fucking fire. And this, they thought, was kind of a dud.
Yeah, The Beach, though. That was when, like, he was not in, like, a good place.
He was not... They were not happy with him.
Yeah, because Titanic came out. The Man in the Iron Mask, I remember, was big because of him. Celebrity, I've never even heard of. Then The Beach came out. Then Don's Plum, Gangs in New York, Catch Me If You Can, which are both two good movies, but also carried by different actors as well. I feel like Tom Hanks carried a lot of Catch Me If You Can.
I
want to
make a debate there. I think Leonardo DiCaprio was hired and put into that part, and they didn't think he would, but go and watch it again.
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, man.
Oh, I know. Leo's the shit. But Leo's also the shit in this movie, and people thought he was shitty. You understand what I'm saying?
And that's where I don't understand, because what I've read about him, it's one of the best Rhodesian accents ever accomplished on screen.
I made a point of that, because at first I was like, oh, what the fuck? And then I started listening, yeah. I was like, actually, no. This is like, because he's talking to people that are speaking that same dialect,
or he's working their dialect for them.
Yeah, bro. Yes.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, like
it's incredible.
He did his but he had that kind of English South African accent as well. Not the one that you're talking about. The one that you're talking about is more of like their slang.
Well, the Rhodesian Zimbabwean accent is whatever he's talking to when he's talking to like just Jennifer Connelly and like. A regular, like, just kind of his regular banter, because he's from Rhodesia.
Okay, because I got the more, I don't know, like,
no,
what
that's
part.
That's his Leonian, like, slang when he's going, like, what you talking about with that over there?
Yeah, because he starts doing that shit, and I was like, whoa, weird.
Yeah, that's more to work with that guy who's so, sort of, it's his third language, probably, English, you know what I mean? So he's so fucking...
It's like broken English mixed with like a little bit of Jamaican and like a kind of a little twang of like English.
Because, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of English presence down there as well as, I mean, English is one of their languages down there, but there's like 12 per fucking country in that area. And Sierra Leone is not that big, so there's people from all over. So yeah, he kind of, like when he's talking about just like himself to her or to... Oh, man, what is his name in the movie? I forget his name.
Solomon,
yeah.
Can't believe I remember that shit. Yeah. I watched the fuck out of this movie. I thought it was really good.
It was really good.
The first, like, the beginning scenes, not the first scene. The first scene's him talking to his kid, and then, like, them, like, hanging out, like, oh, you're going to school, you're going to be a fucking doctor, dude. And he probably wouldn't have been a doctor, but intense fucking violence in it. Like, insane violence. The
violence that's necessary to show the message of that film.
I'm about to say, the children shooting, I was like, this is really fucked up. Like, in there, like,
he's like, see me no more.
Yeah.
That's my name.
Oh, Baby Killer. Yeah, yeah. All that. Like, but I'm talking even before that, in like the beginning of the movie.
Oh, no, just watching the RUF come out.
They're
yeah.
just mowing down. And they put those kids as almost like a human shield for the yeah. fucking dude. That's so fucked up.
Because people are reluctant to kill the children kids, from the yeah. village next to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the hands getting cut off at the beginning as well. That was really fucked up.
These
and they
are
showed
all atrocities. Like she says, she's like, it looks like the little kids with the fucking flies and the
yeah the
pushed
tummies,
out bellies. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No one gives a fuck though. They watch it for 5 minutes on CNN. There's a million refugees here.
And then the dad from Seventh Heaven shows up.
He does, and he's like, "We got to do something about these here diamonds."
Yeah, I'm like, "Oh man, you had a really hot daughter one time, but not really. You know,
you've had a real
Jessica Biel."
Yeah,
yeah, she was hot.
Yes,
enjoyed her. One of my first crushes, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I like the middle daughter too.
Mary, yeah, yeah, she was great. I used to watch Seventh Heaven a lot with my mom when I was younger.
I bet you did. I was more of a Full House, so I'm like, yo.
You watched Touched by an Angel in Seventh Heaven because she was real, you know, religious.
Touched by an Angel, that's rough.
You're telling me. Try being a fucking 11-year-old. Like, can we please watch Power Rangers? I fucking hate this.
Can we at least watch Dawson's Creek?
I know. I never got into Dawson's Creek. She wouldn't let me watch it either because she knew it was like real like sex-based and
oh,
shit.
Yeah, totally
but
hard.
Also let me watch like Leprechaun and fucking RoboCop. Like, it was really weird. Like, she didn't want the sexual aspect of it getting to me at a young age.
But check out these bloody
yeah
guts.
But check out this dude getting his fucking whole arm blown off. Like, that's fine. Whatever. It was real
my
weird.
Kid's gonna keep his dick in his pants but be real fucking
yeah he's
evil.
Gonna murder somebody. But then again, I mean, it was the opposite. I didn't murder anyone.
Hey,
but
Dexter,
I didn't keep my dick in my
literally
pants either. Yeah,
nervous about sex, doesn't mind murders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it went the opposite with me. I was nervous about murders and not about sex.
Now you got a nice neutral.
Yeah, yeah,
neutral.
Yeah, yeah. My next note is ass to ass as a reporter.
Ass to ass.
She's like, fuck, my whole career and you got ass to ass?
TIA.
What?
This is Africa.
And oh, he's like, right on.
When he's like, over there, it's bling bling. Over here, it's bling bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every fucking line of dialogue that he does in that film, I'm bombarded with, like, just his talent.
Yeah. Talking about Leo, correct?
Yes.
Okay, make sure.
Everything. I mean, his pursuit, and I've really looked into him being a fucking white-born Zimbabwean boy who was then a soldier, and there's a bunch of forums that kind of talk about him, like South African forums that say that, you know, this was their bet.
So is this based on a true story?
This is probably a collection of.
I'm about to say, I know that
clippings.
The blood diamond itself is like a true thing. Now, do they call it blood diamond because of the goat that he takes it in, or is it just because the blood shed over the diamond?
The blood to get the amount of death that comes
because they cut open the back
diamonds.
Of that goat where it's sewn, and then they take out the diamonds. And I was like, oh, blood diamonds. I understand.
No.
It
just
means
it conflict diamond.
Yeah, conflict.
People
diamond.
Had to die for you to
conflict
get the diamond.
Conflict diamond does not hook as well as blood diamond, though.
No.
So yeah.
And that's why people call it conflict now. And it's like, oh, there's a little conflict. Like, what? Like, I said, give it to me. And they said, no.
No, more like, no, give it to me. Okay, I'm going to rape your wife, shoot you, take your child, make him shoot other people like you.
Well,
yeah,
there's this.
Oh, he's like, you want to vote, you can't vote with fucking without hands. And he's like, chop. I'm like, holy shit, that escalated.
Short sleeve or long sleeve? What do you want?
God damn, that's insane.
Well, Leo says this really good line when he's kind of giving her the scoop. Mm. And he's like, they don't fund a war, but they create the circumstances that keep a war economy flowing and keeping them rare by vaulting like millions of fucking diamonds so that people will pay an extreme amount and people will want to fight to get them out of the land.
I thought that was a really cool aspect of the movie to show, just because of the fact that they're like, yeah, look at the monopoly that they have on this market. They're literally hoarding diamonds themselves to be like, oh, we don't have many. That's why they're valuable.
Yep.
Even though there's a fucking ton of them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to spoil it, let's not kill the ending, but I mean, all this stuff's like, you pretty much know of it. And ever since Blood Diamond came out, I already knew all the things that you've said about it. But yeah, like you said, his portrayal of the character is amazing. Solomon's character is fucking very rich.
Yes.
His performance is incredible.
He's like, there's that one line. It won't give anything away, but he's like, I have nothing.
Yeah.
And like, he's screaming. Mm-hmm. Like,
their whole, it's almost like a bromance journey, but they fucking kind of hate each other, but then love each other. It's a really cool character development between both of them.
Almost all
and
the way
Jennifer
to the end,
Connelly.
It's a fuck off, come on, let's go. Fuck off, come on, let's go.
Like, I'm your master, you know you're not, that type of shit. Like, it's very back and forth, but like, and it's weird because you're like, is Leonardo trying to do good by him, or is he not? Like, is he being selfish? And then like, the end is just such a beautiful depiction of it. I feel like they couldn't have done it a better way. At first, I was like, I wish it would have ended differently, but then I watched the entire rest of the ending, yes, and I was like, that actually worked beautifully. Yep.
And that's what I told you before going in, because I had seen it. I was like, the ending of this film, and I won't give anything away either, because I really implore people to watch this fucker if definitely they haven't. But it is such a fucking, like, that last 15 minutes, you're like, oh man, 2 hours and 20 minutes. It needs it.
And honestly, I
it really wraps that package perfectly.
Yeah, and the 2 hours and 20 minutes, I know that sound, I actually think it was 2 hours and 43.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Let me check real quick. But honestly, like, I think that it's a way fine investment for
and
me.
And like I told you, it's a chase movie. It moves. It's not like a fucking, not to where you're watching and you're going bored.
Or 2 hours and 23 minutes, sorry.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I even told you, I was like, dude, it's good. You're not going to feel bored. Like, it's a really fucking rich movie. Oh man, so gorgeous. It plays out to me at like the same speed as like Braveheart or like Gladiator. It's an epic, it's a chase.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. She takes a selfie with a local militia.
I wrote that too. Fucking selfies with jungle rebels.
Yeah, and I if you think about it, back in 2006 you would never think selfie because it didn't exist.
And those are Shawnee. They're Rhodesian rebels in the jungles, so they're kind of like from where he's from, but yeah, he's kind of like, these fucks are so angry and hate, like they will kill everything.
Yeah, they're like, they don't let anyone in here because they're mm-mm, like, fuck you, stay out of our shit, we will murder you because you guys are fucking up everything else. And it's not even so much his people, it's more so I think the what's it called, RUF. It's more so the RUF that are like, they're worried about, but they don't know, like, anyone can be it because they look like civilians, and then next thing you know it's a fucking kid whipping out a gun at you, which the kid violence in it is insane. The portrayal of the kids, the camps of the kids was really fucked up looking. It almost looked like a I'm trying to think of the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when the one kid goes to like the Foot Clan lounge area where the kids are skateboarding and doing all fucked up shit. It felt like that.
Like, yeah, drinking, almost like smoking, almost like shooting a kid up heroin, anarchy, like play place. Yeah.
Yeah, but like there's adults being like, no, this is what you need to do. You're fighting for, and like, you almost like, you're like, wow, I would look up to that dude because he's doing this type of shit.
He's giving
you know?
He's telling you, you're the man and you're the shit. Here's some drugs that make you invincible.
Yeah.
Here's whatever music and video games you want.
Yeah, here's alcohol.
Everything.
Here's weed. Here's
Let's go shoot. Let's go fucking throw a grenade. Like, have you ever done that, dude?
Yeah, you have the power to kill, take a life. Like, have that kind of power behind you. Like, they did a really awesome job of showing that, like, facet of it.
And I love that the one guy that is sort of like talking to one of the kids, he's like, whatever you need, I will get it for you.
Yeah,
you're the man. Like, pretty much saying, like,
empowering them.
Oh man, yeah, really warping kids so quickly and easily.
And then that's why when they get to that part where the militia that she took pictures with, they get to that guy's like estate, and he's like, we're getting those kids back and trying to make them normal again.
Yeah,
because they're so fucked up and brainwashed and shit. Yeah. Like, we probably got to get some of them off heroin.
And you read there's still 200,000. Fucking child soldiers in Africa throughout the world.
I thought about 200,000. I was like, Jesus, that's so many fucking people. And not even people, like fucking children.
That's the population of Akron, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Everyone in this just a militant child.
Yeah. Militant, murdering, drugged up, like absolute fucking warped wreck from these fucking animals.
There was a really cool part in it when they walk up to the refugee camp and she's like, this is what a million people look like. Yeah. I was like, wow.
You probably saw it in between sports and like
news. Like maybe a minute if they did. I was like, wow, that's a fucking powerful way to put that and a really awesome image to put with it. They did a really good job of just kind of making you feel really bad for fucking diamonds.
I mean, honestly, though, there's so much going on in those regions that when you make a film like this, if you don't do it proper, it looks, what is that called? It kind of looks insincere. It looks shitty. It looks tacky. But I mean, the box kind of shows it as an action flick, and it is an action flick.
Definitely, I would say that.
But I mean, my God, there's so much fucking heart behind it. And it seems like they did a good amount of research, and I've looked it up, and there are similarities to the conflict of the time and the region that they're talking about that completely mirror what you hear in the movie.
Definitely. Yeah, highly recommend it. Great flick. Great Thank you for showing me it.
Dude, I was pumped to, like, give it to you because I knew you wanted a little action.
Yeah.
So
that was, and it's super, you get into that movie and you just get into it. Uh-huh. It just, you hop right in with them and you go. There's a lot of, and yeah. It's shot gorgeously.
Yeah.
That, like, the setting alone is fucking perfect. And not only that, the way that the cinematography of it was just perfect.
Yes.
All right. So, what do you want to do next week for Test of Tony?
Fuck. Let me think. Some early Leo?
Man in the Iron Mask.
We already did it.
Man in the Iron Mask?
Yeah.
We did?
I already watched it or something. No, I've seen that lately. Fuck you. No.
Growing Pains with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I was going to say The Beach because I just really want to watch it, but I know I love it.
Yeah,
so
I was about to say that's definitely going to pass.
That's
the test
not playing time. Games.
We can do an in-depth on The Beach.
You sure?
I mean, unless you have something that I haven't seen.
Oh, I mean, I have a list. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Hit me with that, and we'll go from there.
Let me think. Well, what are you in the mood for, babe?
Whatever. I don't care.
You care if there's ag? I mean, you want to keep it in Africa?
I mean, sure. What, we doing Lion King?
City of God?
City of God. Oh, that's what the dude from, wait, is that Children of Men, dude?
Not at all.
Fuck, what? I don't know why I thought that. City of God?
Yes.
All right, I haven't seen it, so sure.
I don't know if I'm almost putting too much on you.
You might be.
With this.
Hold on 1 second, I'm checking it out right now.
This is a little insidery, but Scott got really gnarred out from this movie, and so did I. It's an intense, beautiful movie.
All right, yeah, no, it looks cool. It looks like you'd like
Leon. Acclaimed, yeah.
Leon the Professional, Seven, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Goodfellas, and American History X. So, yeah, I'll check
it
out.
Dude, it's up there on top 100 lists.
All right, In-Depth, City of God, Test of Tony.
All right, man. Come on.
What are we
bring
doing?
It to me.
Oh, okay.
I will watch Growing Pains if you want me to.
No, we won't do that to you. I'm trying to think. Do you have anything from like your childhood that you haven't seen in a long time that you like did like and then you would like to revisit maybe?
That's what scares me. I've had so many bad experiences lately.
You want to do Spider-Man 1? Tobey Maguire? Did you already do one of those?
I did.
Did you do Spider-Man?
What the fuck did I do?
It wasn't Spider-Man 2. I love that movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Was it Spider-Man 3?
Yeah,
I think so, because we talked about Venom and shit.
Yeah, and that fucking cookie
Tobey Maguire and bullshit. Emo crap, yeah.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Okay, let me think. I'm not watching, I already watched Spawn, I watched Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I like?
I like how you're like pulling movies that I would probably say.
Uh-huh. But I'm thinking on those,
what's
I'm
got
trying
a cape?
To, what would Paul do?
What about that first Punisher?
Oh, that just got on Netflix, fuck yeah.
Not,
oh,
fuck. What's it called? Warzone? Not that one.
Yeah, Warzone.
Warzone's the shit.
Yeah, we're going to watch the original with Thomas Jane.
Yeah, that's a dude from The Mist.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Punisher.
Punisher and City of God. This is going to be a gnarly one, too, because both those movies are action-packed, and one of them, honestly, one of the most beautiful independent films it's rough.
Punisher.
Yeah, Punisher, numbnuts. Oh, you numbnuts.
Do you want to... I'll announce the genre five the day of the next podcast. Yeah, and shit. Follow us at I Can't Read, at I Can't Read on Twitter. Check out the Lousy Weather Media podcast channel page, I think it is, on Facebook. Give that a like. LWM podcast. Thank you. Give that a like on Facebook. And until next time, go burn books.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production, executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.